Speaker view is how we get the one person at a time. Trish, your video is off. Do you want it on?
Yeah, okay. Put it on.
There we go. Rami.
Well, I have to do it myself.
Oh, yeah. I just said start video. So if you click yes, your video should appear. There you are.
Okay. Hello. Gotcha.
And Rami asked to start video. And that's strange that this is okay. There we go. This is how we normally do it. Hello, hello.
Hello.
There.
Yep. Hello.
Secret.
Rami, your video is you're having trouble connecting. You might have to log out and log back in because you don't have microphone or camera capability, it looks like. So sometimes logging back out and logging back in helps with that issue. And last week I was at King's Dominion with my son, so that's why I didn't have the little chat thing.
Yeah, that's good though.
Yes, yes, we had a good time.
Good for you. Jai Guruji Jan.
Jai Guru.
Jai. Hello, Trish.
Rami, you might want to, because I see you there, but you're not going to be able to join unless probably you jump out, come back in. Yeah, seeing the candle reminds this person in my real life, so to speak, was asking about meditation, and he was saying, "Oh, you know, my thoughts, they're coming and going, and I can't sit and meditate because I'm so overwhelmed by thoughts and thinking." And I recommended that he sit and look at a candle, or any object for that matter, and then just kind of pay attention to that object and eliminate all other objects within his kind of way of seeing and just see that. And then as he's concentrating fully on that object, sort of turn that same attention inward and see from where this attention is coming. Oh. And like releasing the attention on this object, turning it inward and just seeing that is like a, so, and he's going to try that. So we'll see how it goes.
key.
Because like I told him, the key is to that sense of presence, that sense of existence that I am. As soon as that's felt, then that becomes the laser focus in every experience. And then this sense of existence, this I am, I exist, the selfless self, that becomes the object of awareness. And then attention's turned inward of, oh. Whether this sense of existence is here or not, I am.
Oh.
Then once this is directly experienced, it's just a matter of basically exercising this, you know, constantly remaining. I think Nisargadatta Maharaj says he only saw his guru a couple times, and then he spent every waking moment looking at this I am, studying this I am, this sense of existence, I exist, selfless self. All waking moments were spent with this, because there's nothing more important in the life like than to know this. And at first, when there's a dualistic type of sense of thinking, this sense of existence, this I am, this presence, can be worshipped as the god or deity. Say, okay, when I say my prayers, I hold this sense of presence. This sense of presence is my conception of God.
Oh.
I pray to this. I devote to this. The bhajans are for this. And eventually then there's the understanding that, oh, so that I am that. But as the dualistic mind will still be there in the beginning, the sense of duality of there's a sense of presence and myself, okay. So maybe I don't understand myself as this sense of presence or this knower. Instead, I'm the worshiper of the sense of presence. I do my devotion to the sense of presence. When I bow to the master, I understand that the sense of presence has appeared as this master who told me, you are not body, you were not body, you're not going to remain body. When a thought comes, I remain with presence. I worship this presence as that power greater than myself, as that God, Brahman, Atman, Paramatman, as my master. That's the subtle sense of presence.
And you could say you end up loving being yourself. Sometimes they say be yourself.
So. Well, at this moment, even you say, okay, we understand that this sense of presence, there's a subtle knower of the sense of presence, and the sense of presence is felt through body, and it's all one. But the baby step would be presence. And this is for my own experience when I went to Maharaj in India, the sense of presence I felt it strongly. And I knew I was going to India to meet the sense of presence in the form of Maharaj and surrender. But at that time, there was still a dualistic mind of myself and the master, or myself and the sense of presence. And then Maharaj clearly revealed that, you know, accept your selfless self. There's no God, no Brahman, no Paramatman, no master. And you are not body. You were not body. You're not going to remain the body. That you are. And this is this. The body-based knowledge was dissolved through using mantra and through bhajan and through absolute devotion to the master.
could say it becomes like unavoidable, unavoidable to be aware of that or something.
I mean, it's just, it's the selfless self-devotion. This sense of presence is my concept of God. I bow to this sense of presence. Now the understanding again came that Maharaj was this sense of presence in form to tell me, you know, because mind wants to surrender, basically. It needs an object to surrender because it deals with objects in dualistic thinking. Mind says, it's me and you. So in this state of duality, I say, I am coming to the master to surrender this sense of myself. All of this is only within the bubble of illusion, but it's needed to, like, to release. When the master says, you are not body, you were not body, you're not going to remain the body, and the mind came along with the body, then you cease being interested in the mind. You cease being interested in the activities of the body. Instead, you remain with the mantra, which again clears all these illusory layers slowly, silently, and permanently until you're reflecting selfless self in a clear mind. And that's all there is.
So you don't really need the interest in like the doing the things that you do in order to do them.
No, because you're not there's no deed and you're not a doer. Because when you know yourself in a real sense, how can this be doing anything? How can the space in the room be involved in the activities in the room? It's not possible, except through like a mirror or through a reflection. Oh, this projection. Oh, look at this. These are appearances. I'm not an appearance. I seem to be seeing a world, but in reality, I'm formless, and the world I'm seeing is just a projection based on the concept I exist in the imagination through consciousness that seemingly enjoys existing and therefore creates. Again, just like at nighttime, falling asleep, sleeping in the dream state, boom, consciousness enjoys creating. And there you are within the dream with a body. None of it's true. You know this when you wake up. Master says the waking state is the same as the dream state. Discover this for your own self, and you'll know this body can't be true. I am somebody else is the long dream. And everything that this apparent somebody is doing is not happening, is nothing. It's just projection from the formlessness that you are. Just as the dream. Entire dream world is projected from the formlessness that you are. And yet you're seeing it. And apparently you have a dream that you have a dream body that you're seeing this dream through. And it's the same here. You're formless and you're seeing this creation through the concept of being a body in a world. It's not true. And it only lasts for a certain time. Just as your dream at night only lasts for a certain time, and you certainly don't cry when you're going to sleep. Oh, no, no. Don't let me lose myself. However, you may cry at the end of the dream when you're waking up, and it's a very beautiful dream, and you're waking up in the morning, you're like, oh, I wish I could recapture this because it seems so real.
So you said that the presence or whatever is interested in creating, and somehow has an interest in creating, so it creates.
But no, this sense of existence automatically creates a concept of duality, just the same as we can easily talk of sleeping. This food body lays down to sleep, and the consciousness when it is no knowingness has arisen, then you're in called deep sleep. You're there, but you have no idea that you're there, and you have no concept of being there or being not there. Then this sense of existence stirs, which immediately projects a dream world. And you appear within this dream world as a character in your dream. When you wake up, you know that none of this form-based existence that appeared to you in the dream was real. Even though at the time it appeared very real, you may have experienced emotions. When you wake up, you know it was false. Well, this consciousness is one. The dream state and the waking state is the same. The body is a lump of goo formed by two other lumps of goo, with the consciousness believing that they're having a baby, and therefore passing this belief on to this little lump of goo that you are John. The space in the room suddenly understands I exist and I'm John. This is Mom, this is Dad. Mom and Dad introduced me to a world. No one said you're always there, but you clicked with this body and now you know yourself. But when you were not knowing yourself, you still very much were. But now you know yourself, and you know yourself as something. None of that's true.
Well, we're taught to be interested in knowing stuff.
Yeah, and forget all the teaching. Maharaj says, if you can go to him and leave everything that you think you know at the feet of the master, this is good. Because everything you know is only body-based knowledge. And of course, you're not a body. So if you're not a body, what is the value of body-based knowledge? What is the value of body-based relations? What is the value of body-based experiences?
It all disappears anyway.
Of course. Just as in dream, you have body-based experiences, body-based relations, body-based knowledge. And when you wake up in the morning, it's gone. We talked about before. If I dream that I'm very rich in my dream, and I wake up and I'm sad that my Mercedes is not out front, where did that Mercedes go? I was just in it. I was just driving around in it and really enjoying myself. Where did my big house go? And that's why Ashtravakra Gita, it talks about, am I a king dreaming I am a beggar, or am I a beggar dreaming I am a king? Neither.
We are both.
And both. Exactly. The one consciousness is believing through the illusory form, I am a king. One consciousness is believing through the illusory form, I am a beggar. The beggar and the king are appearances within the consciousness, nothing more.
It's one of the reasons that I'm so drawn to the psychedelic experience is what you just explained, you know. And when I reach that state of non-knowing, there is nothing participating. You know, I when I fall asleep and I reappear in this waking dream after a DMT experience, for example, I feel like I'm not waking up, but I'm falling asleep, you know? And but when I'm in this state, in the DMT state, there's no one participating. And I think that's one of the main things that drew me to Nisargadatta and drew me to the psychedelic experience, because there's no me there. Although that me that is in everyone
It's just like in there resounding, you know, and I'm aware of that. But the first thing I notice when I come back is how this participation starts, you know. I witness it. I'm aware of it now. At least that has facilitated the waking dream for me. You know, now I can get to that that I am state, that unborn state, thanks to the psychedelics and Nisargadatta, of course, you know, and Ram Khan, of course, and you. So that participation is what kills us, you know. What if we can just do things off memory? You know, I still sit next to the love of my life. And even though I know she is beyond that, and I go through the memories, I go through the actions, but I don't feel as if I'm participating. There is no longer a participation on my part, you know. I feel I only participate when I'm in the absolute, you know. It's a very paradoxical, but I don't know. Maybe, I don't know if that had something to do with what you were saying. Excuse me.
The only thing I would say is, were there psychedelics prior to beingness? I know Maharaj would say this.
No doubt.
It's good for a temporary experience. And if that allows you to sense the sense of existence, indeed. But then this should be also like just one thorn that removes another thorn. Concept of I arrived to this state because of these psychedelics or these DMT or whatever. Mm-hmm. But this is just a concept because I know myself. This is the reality. Now, this reality is, and everything else is just an appearance. I know, for instance, there was a lady who talked about some kind of meditation, similar to this, but not drugs, but like a meditation where you lose
hold
yourself.
Your breath.
Yeah, exactly. And Maharaj said, like, this is kind of a body-based meditation. You want to separate so that you're not relying. There's no crutches. Just like for my own self, when I went to India, I had the red raksh beads on. And man, I valued those because, you know, the people who sell them to you, and I looked on the internet and 14 Mukhi was supposed to guarantee liberation. And was supposed to strengthen this sense of presence. Because I was feeling the presence, I wanted anything and everything that could enhance this presence, which looking back now is a little bit silly, but at the beginning, this is how I felt. I felt these beads are enhancing presence. This is why I feel presence so strongly. But the truth was, my attention was focused on presence and not the illusory world. Nothing in the illusory world was catching the attention of the awareness. My awareness was totally on the sense of presence. So when I went to Maharaj and received the mantra, seemingly those beads just came off. It was like, you know, like Forrest Gump when he's running and the leg braces are breaking off and shooting off all in the places because he's standing on his own two feet. And because of Maharaj, this was able to happen. Standing on your own two feet without Rudraksh, without drugs, without any type of psychedelic, without breathing exercises, without any sort of anything, standing on your own two feet and allowing Master to just engulf you. Anything and everything that you are is just dissolved. And that cannot be dissolved remains.
I noticed in my experience that I used to do psychedelics way back when I was drinking and stuff. I ended up giving everything away. Up just because it seemed like one thing would drag me back into drinking if I continued, like if I continued marijuana, that started me back drinking. But I noticed that when I go into occasionally I'll have deep oneness experiences or something, and those seem very similar in a way to psychedelic experiences that I used to have. They almost feel like very, don't know, very similar feeling in a way, except that the fact that the psychedelic experiences has a lot more intensity or something to it, but it's basically something about it's the same, and that I guess that there's no me there. I guess that maybe that's what's.
And as Maharaj says, these are temporary painkillers, because you can have an amazing trip, feel absolute oneness, come down, and then suddenly you're back in the illusory world. And you may take some of that experience with you, but that is your experience. And therefore, you're creating experiencer and experiencer where there is none. I had a very great experience, just like samadhi. Hell, samadhi you can use as like the same as a psychedelic. You can drop back into that anytime and immediately lose yourself. Like, there's no touch of body, no touch of anything. And you're almost paralyzed in this.
Yeah, I think maybe that's what I'm talking about.
There's sort of nothing. Like, but see, samadhi is also illusion, because you're experiencing the samadhi. There's someone there to experience samadhi. When you remain with the sense of existence, the sense of presence, and you're worshiping this sense of presence because of the concept of duality as a god, Brahman, Paramatman, master, then this knowingness is here that on this I am, the sense of existence, the selfless self, this entire world has appeared. But I just hold this. Whether this presence is here or not, this knower of this presence is here. So when this body form falls, because now we're so removed, everything is appearing in this formless presence. All of this is illusory, because it's just an appearance, and anything that can appear will disappear, including this sense of existence. But the one to whom this sense of existence has arisen cannot disappear. And if this one that you are was not, the sense of existence couldn't, who would know I exist if there wasn't this that you are? And with this sense of existence comes the magic of the world. Oh, look, the projection. But don't get lost in the projections. As Maharaj says, you're the projector, not the projections. And not projection, because as soon as you say, oh, you're the projector, then the mind wants to take this and go conceptually, like, okay, a projector, it prints pictures on the screen and all that. No, the projection is just all the appearance in the formlessness, the space in the room, having the ability to see inside of itself, sees things and has the concept that I'm a thing with other things. None of it's true. And Maharaj says, you are not body, you were not body, you're not going to remain the body. Mind, ego, intellect came along with the body. You are not body. So you have a good experience, but the experience was done through mind in an illusory world. You're neither of those, so throw that away. Your body-based relations, okay, take care of your family, take care of all your responsibilities, but no, it's not true. You're formless, and not even formless as a concept. Nothing, but not nothing as a concept. There's no concept of nothing, because again, if we give it to mind, mind wants to figure it out. Direct experience lets you know, oh, so that I am that. And that is all there is. I know myself in a real sense. The body is just an instrument. It's a food body. When we say it's a food body, because you're a little kid, a lump of goo, eat and the body grows. What is the body made of? The food you eat. It grows. So this body is the food that you eat, which eventually deteriorates. But the you that's there, that can't go anywhere. The formless holder of the body cannot be burned, cannot die, doesn't sleep, isn't awake. It's how do you say this? And this sense of existence is the fragrance that arises from this knowingness. Without the knowingness, there's nothing to know, but the knower still very much is. Just with no knowledge of anything or any knowing of anything, as there is nothing. So all of this something appeared in the nothing. We'll go back to the nothing. You're not losing anything. You can't gain anything. It's all within your own self. Just as the dream. Everything you acquire in the dream is gone. But you don't wake up in the morning and cry about it. I mean, I hope you don't.
I might try to figure it out. And I notice that's what I do all the time. I'm trying to know in one way or the other, because that's what I've been doing my whole life. I'm trying to know stuff. But I was noticing today that trying to know stuff is actually, in a way, it's a type of avoidance that doesn't even realize it's avoiding anything.
Yeah, you should be emptying this thing called mind. And you do that with mantra. Remain with the mantra, slowly, silently, and permanently, all the concepts disappear. Because you have to understand, mind came along with the body. Everything that the mind knows is illusion. All the experiences, all the memories, all this stuff that it tries to refer to is not true. You're prior to the mind. You're prior to the body. So how can this mind say anything that's true? Right. Everything it says is not true. It relates only to the illusory existence. And that's why if the mind says, hey, I'm hungry, you go eat. If the mind says, oh, Keith, you're so bad, you're so terrible, whom are you speaking to?
But the mind thinks it's referring to being, and it's not.
The mind, again, came along with the body. You can't think any thought that's not illusory, because all the mind can do is think about the illusory existence, the memories of illusory existence, the concept, I am a body in a world, and all that comes along with it. All thoughts are presented to you based on the illusory existence that you know is not true. Because you remain, oh, I know myself in a real sense. This is why mind is gone. It stops. There's no how. Maybe there are thoughts flowing, but you're so paying attention to nothing that, you know, if a thought comes about something, what is this something that you're thinking about?
Would you say it's easier to fall asleep when the mind kind of like, you know, doesn't, keep it
oh
so.
No, you are quite awake. I mean, you feel alive.
I mean, as there's far a as
sense of aliveness without being in a body form, weighed down by a body. See, right now, Keith is carrying a dead body on his shoulder. Everywhere he goes, he's carrying Keith. And the mind is talking about this dead body, Keith. And you, the formless holder of the body, unfortunately, are burdened by this illusory lump of goo that you're identifying as Keith. The same as if you just carry a sack of potatoes around with you. You're formless. Now use the body as an instrument in doing what needs to be done in the moment, because you're outside of time. Time doesn't even make sense. Other than you look at your watch and you say, oh, right now it's 7:52. Oh, okay, very nice, 7:52. But, and actually it's not, it's 7:49. My watch is fast. See, we're totally outside of time. But.
Oh, indeed.
So every time you go to figure it out, say, let me find myself in this moment and just remain. I'm not going to give this to mind, because mind is like a joke, a bad joke. It's constantly lying because nothing it says can be true. So I just remain with myself. And if in this moment I believe that there's myself and presence, then this presence is my deity. This will be good too, because the bhakti or the devotion to the sense of presence will please, as Maharaj says, this sense of presence, this spiritual atmosphere, and the knowingness, oh, so that I am that. I'm prior. Just keep going. Recede, 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 presence. I can't think about presence because presence just is. I'm going to remain here. Mind says, oh, Keith, you better look over here. No, 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 I'm just going to remain with presence. Oh, look, that thing that the mind said to look over there. What was that? I'm just concentrated on presence. Then I thank presence. I bow to the selfless self. Thank you, Master. Oh. As I see more and more things are not needed for me to grab the concept that I am a doer, doing deeds. Thank you, Master. Thank you, Master. The sense of presence. Thank you, Master. When I bow to the Masters, the images of the Master, I know this presence. I am bowing to selfless self. And you'll probably get a recognition in the projection where presence will be very, very strong as you're bowing to the Master, because this sense of presence is the Guru. The dispeller of darkness, so to speak. Remain there. The darkness is all the clouds of illusory thoughts about illusory world that is not true. Now that you know this, have fun. Like I said, last Tuesday I was with my son. We spent the whole day at King's Dominion, enjoyed ourselves. I don't have to keep saying, oh, I'm formlessness. None of this is true. No, enjoy. But there's never a doubt. Through direct experience, you know yourself in a real sense. There is no doubt. Master says you are Brahman, you're Paramatman, you're Master. Yes, I am Brahman, I'm Paramatman, I am Master. These are the names that have been given to the invisible, unidentified identity. Invisible, anonymous, unidentified identity is how Maharaj